My grandmother was a liberal Mennonite, which means she was pretty much a lot more conservative than all of you. I loved her very much. She lived to be 103 years of age. And now when I go over about a mile from here, over to the Amish and Mennonite area of Pinecraft, I see these elderly women, and they look a little bit like my grandmother. And I feel at home there. I feel like, yeah, these are people that I am familiar with, and they're kind and good people. Of course, this is all my projection onto them, but it is a comforting feeling. I think of my grandmother when I think about the question, what is religion? Because it was she who first expressed doubts to me about whether Unitarian Universalism is a religion. It was 1961. I was 10 years old. I was spending part of the summer with my grandmother in Idaho. She lived in a small town called Aberdeen, Idaho. And my cousin Dix and I were there. I'd been sent there by my parents so that they could have some peace from me. And Dix and I would explore the community on our own a lot during the day, which was a lot of fun. But one evening, Grandma decided that we should play a board game together. And I was familiar with board games like Monopoly, so I said, sure. And we sat in her living room, and she brought the board game out, and there were the dice and the things you moved around, and there were a bunch of cards with questions on them. Except these questions were all about the Bible. Now, I had been attending the Unitarian Church in Phoenix in the Sunday school program, and they have an excellent curriculum on Joseph and his coats of many colors, which is an Old Testament story about family rivalry and jealous brothers and dream interpretation and the beginning, how Jews got to Egypt in the first place before the travels with Moses. And so I was really familiar with that part of the Bible. I knew a lot about Joseph and his coats of many color. But there had not been a comprehensive Bible course taught by the Unitarians, and so that's all I knew about. I was like the purported the story of the English school children who were given an exam on the Bible, and the kids, not knowing the answers, according to the story, they guessed, what was the first commandment? The kids guessed, when Eve told Adam to eat the apple. Okay. What was the fifth commandment? Humor thy father and mother. And of course, the classic question, what was the name of Noah's wife? And how many of you know the answer? Just shout it out. What was the name of Noah's wife? Joan of Arc. Well, my answers to the questions my grandmother asked me were not nearly as funny as that, but it was obvious after just a few minutes that the game wasn't going to work. My cousin Dix, who was 4 years older than me, had gone, I think, to a Methodist church and had learned a lot more than I did and was able to answer many of the questions, but I was in a complete fog. I didn't know what to say in response. So Grandma put the game aside, and she said, Roger, what is the name of the church your parents are taking you to? Unitarian, I said. And I had a feeling that that was a strange name for a church. It wasn't mainstream, even at 10. And she says, is it a real religion? Is it a real religion? And I said, well, yeah. We we go on Sunday mornings. My mom and dad go and listen to the minister give a sermon, and I go to Sunday school. It's just like all other religions. It's a real religion. But she wasn't sure. Over the years, I have encountered a number of people who question whether Unitarian Universalists are a real religion. To be religious, they tell me, is to believe in God. And American Unitarian Universalism does not require a belief in God for membership in their churches. And therefore, I am told, it is not a real religion. Well, over the years, I've developed a response to this claim, and I want to share it with you this morning. It's based on the history of the word religion. When I think of the word, in my imagination, I think about a time 1,000 years ago. Groups of men or groups of women in France are coming together and forming monastic communities. Some word historians, some experts in etymology of words, believe that it was at this time in France, in a convent or in a monastery, that the word religion was first invented. They speculate that the etymology of religion lies with the Latin word religar, which means to tie or to bind together. No one knows for sure, but the theory is that the members of covenants or monasteries use the words to refer to the rules that tied these communities together. This included vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience to the higher authorities in the church. These rules bound the religious community together, gave it stability and order. Word historians think that the French used the Latin word religare to refer to this commitment to a life built on monastic vows. Now, the Norman conquest of 1066 brought this word to the English language. During this 300-year Norman occupation of England, the English adopted about 10,000 French words into English. Some 3/4 of these words are still in use today in our language. One of these words is religar, which started to appear in English as religion about 800 years ago. In old manuscripts, religion describes piety and devotion. It describes respect for what is sacred, moral obligation, and belief in the divine. At first, the word religion had only a Christian meaning. However, over time, as English-speaking peoples explored the world and became aware of the diversity of belief, the meaning of the word evolved to describe non-Christian rituals and beliefs also. Today, some dictionary definitions still say that the word religion refers to, quote, the belief in and worship of a superhuman controlling power, especially a personal god or gods. Under this definition, because Unitarian Universalism does not require a belief in God, it is correct to say that we are not a religion. But under this definition, Buddhism is also not a religion, because Buddhism does not have a concept of God either. I prefer a broader definition. So I start with the etymology of tying or binding together, and I arrive at this definition. Religion is the human effort to link all of our experiences into a meaningful whole that gives purpose and direction to our lives. The key word there is link. Religion is the human effort to link all of our experiences into a meaningful whole that gives purpose and direction to our lives. Under this definition, Unitarian Universalism and Buddhism are both religions. However, as I look at my own definition, for me, an important word is missing that I want to add. At least three philosophers use the word in their own definitions of religion. Listen to these definitions, and you'll hear the word three times. Friedrich Schleiermacher, in The Christian Faith, defines religion as the feeling of the infinite, an awareness of being impressed by and a sensibility to the universe as a whole. Then Rudolf Otto, in his book, The Idea of the Holy, he defines religion as the experience of encounter with the holy, which produces the feelings of awe, mystery, and fascination. And then Henry Nelson Wyman, the American theologian, in his book, The Source of Human Good, he defines religion as the wide open feeling for the rich, novel fullness of the creative process inherent in all of life. Now, the common word in all three, the feeling of the infinite, the feelings of awe and mystery, the wide open feeling for the rich, novel fullness of the creative process. In other words, religion originates in feeling. It is very intimate and personal. A religion flows from our emotion. It flows from our senses and sensations. It is the first impression. Then logic and reason come later. Ideas and theories are down the road. So my definition should read, religion is the human effort to link all our feelings and our experiences into a meaningful whole that gives purpose and direction to our lives. So in my mind, when I say the word religion, I visualize an image of a web connecting all the various parts of my life, my feelings, my experiences, all of them into a meaningful whole, connecting the bad, the good, and the mysterious. When I was 8, four boys bigger than myself decided that it would be a fun game each day at recess at school to chase me, to tackle me, to hold me down, and hit me as I struggled. As they played this game day after day, I felt afraid. I had questions. I didn't have all the vocabulary yet, but I wondered about hatred and power. I wondered about sadism and evil. These are religious questions. When I was 12, I climbed to the top of an old volcano in Arizona near Flagstaff, Sunset Crater. I stood on the edge of that crater. I was more than 8,000 feet in elevation, and I looked out at the trees and the mountains in the distance. I felt a sense of awe in the presence of this amazing majesty, and I wondered about the nature of the universe, about the ancient nature of this volcano I was standing on, and I wondered about my place in all of it. These are religious questions. When I was 31, one morning I was present for the birth of my first child. It was an amazing miracle, seeing a human life take its first breath. And then later that day, in my role as a minister, I visited a church member whose partner had just died. We talked about their relationship, about their life together, about his partner, a gay man who had fought in World War I and explored Paris in the 1920s, and then come back to Massachusetts to work as an attorney and be part of a community where he had to keep his sexual identity sacred for nearly his entire life. But they loved each other, and they lived together for over 30 years. In the presence of birth of my son in the morning and death in this conversation with a member in the afternoon, I felt a mixture of joy and sadness, and I wondered about the nature of life. These are religious feelings, religious questions. In my imagination, I see religion as a web of links connecting these feelings and trying to give them meaning and purpose. I breathe deeply and I ask myself, who am I? Where am I going? How am I related to the universe? What are my highest values? Where is the source of comfort and support for me? Besides thinking about these issues, though, I join in rituals. I sing. I pray. I meditate. Because I am seeking to feel links and connections to help me make sense of these experiences. In 64 years of feelings and experiences, I've come to some conclusions. These are my own views, which in this community, in this religious community, you are free to accept or reject. You are free to develop your own ideas. But I've come to believe that one of the purposes of our lives is to survive as individuals and as a human race. When we are doing things to continue our survival and the survival of our species, our actions have meaning and purpose. Put another way, I believe we are here to learn to love each other and to learn to love the earth. And by doing that, by loving each other and loving the earth, we survive as a species. I also believe we're here to create beauty in music, in art, in writing, and in drama. And I believe we're here also to try to understand all of this, to learn about the nature of the universe. Sometimes that knowledge, when it's medical or environmental knowledge, knowledge about how to cure the common cold or knowledge about how to prevent global warming, that will help us survive. However, sometimes, such as when we send a spaceship to photograph Pluto, or when we send researchers into a cave in Africa, we gain knowledge and understanding of the universe purely for the sake of learning and trying to understand this whole thing that we're in. And I think that this is part of our purpose as human beings. All my actions tie me to these purposes, or they detract from them. The activity of making these connections is the activity of religion. I want to think this through myself, of course, without anyone telling me what to believe, but I do not want to do it alone. Because you are here, I assume it is the same with you. At certain places along the journey of life, many of us long to be in the supportive and joyful company of others who are seekers like ourselves. We want to join in conversation. We want to learn from each other without being told what to believe. So we join this religious community to explore with good companions the nature of life. We are a community of seekers, pledging to help each other, trying to connect our feelings and our experiences into a meaningful whole. The religious community is a primary mode of belonging, accomplishing a variety of tasks that the individual cannot perform. And I see it in your faces. Whether I am speaking, wherever I am speaking, be it here in Sarasota or in Transylvania, as I was speaking 2 weeks ago, or in Lakewood Ranch, where I was this morning. Before the service on Sunday morning, I wander around and I look into your faces. I watch the congregation. I notice that when you first enter, many of you are excited and talkative. You're glancing around looking for friends. Here in Sarasota, it's so noisy before the service that I just eliminated the prelude altogether. Of course, some of you are quiet and reserved. As you sit quietly, you eavesdrop on the conversations around you. Some of you are thoughtfully looking out these beautiful windows at the scenes around you. Some of you are trying to decide, did I make the right decision to come here today? Perhaps you should have stayed home to watch Donald Trump on Meet the Press. There are always many choices. At the appointed time, we start the hymn, and I feel a focus in the room. And you all do your best to sing together, and you sound wonderful. As we sing along, you relax. And during the hour, I notice the faces softening. Your coiled bodies unwind. The gritting teeth separate. The nerve endings no longer pop through your skin. And it's not apathy or boredom. It is an openness to religion. It is your own effort to link, to connect your experience, your feelings, into a meaningful whole. My Mennonite grandmother died in 1987 at the age of 103. However, if she were here today, I would introduce her to all of you and say, Grandma, Grandma, these are loving, imperfect people. They are my community, my congregation. And they are just as wonderful. They are just as loving and just as imperfect as the Mennonites in your church. And yes, Grandma, the people here are just as religious as the people in more traditional churches. Just like you, they are trying in community to discover the purpose of life and to support each other in trying to live according to that purpose. I think Grandma would understand.